Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 25th day of July 2018. I'm so delighted to have on the program for the very first time a fellow Pennsylvanian, Nancy Snyder. And Nancy, until very recently, before retiring from this specific post at Logos Academy in York, Pennsylvania, she was the K-12 Student Support Services Coordinator at Logos Academy, with experience as a homeschooling parent of four sons, an interpreter of conferences and translator of seminary courses for deaf pastors. And today she's going to be discussing the Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Nancy Snyder.
Thank you so much, Chris.
And I'm going to give our email address right now for our listeners who may have a question about helping active children grow in grace. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's C-H-R-I-S. ARNZEN@gmail.com. Please, as always, make sure that you give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. As you may know, Nancy, when I have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I usually have them begin by giving their own personal testimony of salvation. If you could provide for us a little bit of background as to the religion of your youth, if any, if there was any kind of religion at all in your household while being raised as a child, and what the providential circumstances our sovereign Lord brought about in your life that drew you to himself and eventually saved you.
Sure, my pleasure. So growing up, my father would drop me off at Sunday school while my parents recovered from their Saturday nights, and God used that to develop in me some rudimentary faith that the Bible was God's word and God was my father in heaven. And then when I was entering high school, my sister invited me to Young Life, and I tried to weasel out of it, but one night it was at our home, and so it was there that I heard the gospel for the first time, and God used that to bring me to Christ. However, what I understood at that time was that Christ covered the sin of my past, and I, you know, in my sinful pride or self-dependence, I thought that now that I had the Bible, it was up to me to obey God and try as I might. That just didn't work out that well. And further complicating things, when I wanted to become a member of the church where my dad had dropped me off when I was a child, they asked me what I believed, and I said something very unshaped about how I believed Jesus was God and he was the Savior and the Bible was God's word. And the minister said, "Oh, you'll outgrow those childish notions." So
wow.
it took quite some time of, you know, it's hard to understand when you're steeped in Scripture, but as somebody who wasn't, it took quite some time of reading the Bible before I understood that it was possible to be a Christian and go to church and be a member of a church. And I am indebted to people all along the way who discipled me. I'm indebted to a friend who invited us to a strong church where I did hear the gospel, but still didn't quite understand the richness of what Christ worked for his people on the cross. And so one day we had a sermon response class, and the sermon had mentioned something about us being righteous in God's sight. And I, in a moment of uncharacteristic boldness, raised my hand and said, I don't understand how God can see me as righteous because I'm not. And the pastor, knowing I'd been a Christian for, you know, a number of years, said, well, of course, it doesn't make any sense unless you understand double imputation. And I thought, wow, I don't get it. And this was back in the day before you could get on websites and search for words in the Bible. So I did what I always did when I was facing something. I just read the Bible cover to cover, and I wrote down on many pieces of paper everything it said about all those rich words of salvation, adoption, regeneration, propitiation. And our pastor's wife and our pastor's daughter were wonderful teachers of women, and I followed them around everywhere as they taught the gospel until I really began to understand what it meant minute by minute to live out of the righteousness of Christ by faith united with Christ. And that was, of course, a game changer. And then I began to see it everywhere. I felt like I had been let in on the biggest secret of the world, but there it was. It was in the Christmas carols. It was in poetry. It was in literature. It was everywhere. And God, in his mercy, opened my eyes to it.
Amen. You know, you said something interesting about the gospel being in Christmas carols. When I was a new Christian in the 1980s, I was sitting in an easy chair during the Christmas season, and I saw a Christmas special that was being televised by, hosted by Neil Diamond. And I remember, and in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Church of Scientology choir was singing Christmas carols, or singing his backup. And I remember how infuriated I was initially. I was a cage stage Calvinist at the time, and I was thinking, how dare they sing our hymns of Christ's birth? And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me, wow, even the pagans sing praises to Christ and tell the gospel story, even if they're unconscious of it, at least one time a year during the Christmas season. And, and I saw God's sovereign hand in even that occurring, which initially got me angry. I started to rejoice over.
Right. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Yeah, hark the herald. It's all over the Christmas carols.
Amen. And he was also singing segments from Handel's Messiah, and it was just...
Wow.
And I actually happen to like Neil Diamond. I actually saw him in concert at Madison Square Garden, but when I was hearing him as a new Christian singing Christian music, it upset me, but as I said, the Lord took care of that.
Yes, amen.
And can you tell us where you are a member as far as the church where you and your husband now attend?
Absolutely. So my husband is the pastor of a deaf church, and that church is in Lancaster. It is First Deaf Mennonite Church. He's the interim pastor. We're not Mennonite by background or recent Christian tradition, but in the deaf world, you go where people speak your language, and the beloved pastor of that church, in his elderly years, knowing that he was facing his home going soon, asked my husband, Chuck, if he would consider pastoring the church. And Chuck just sees this man as a hero in the faith, this man who's now with Christ, and that really moved him, and it's a wonderful group of people. We are privileged to be a part of what God is doing among them.
Praise God. Can you tell us where you and your husband are at theologically yourselves?
So we are Reformed. So you have to understand that when you interpret, we interpret these theological conferences, there are two signs for baptism, for example, depending upon whether you are Cato Baptist or Credo Baptist. and so when we are interpreting for, say, Mark Dever, we become him and use that sign. When we're interpreting for Lincoln Duncan, we become him and use the sign for infant baptism. And so we are solidly, joyfully in the Reformed tradition. But some of the particulars just go back and forth depending on who we interpret for.
But as far as I happen to be a Reformed Baptist myself, and where would you be in the Pedo-Credo divide?
So when we were early in our marriage and our first son was born, we were at a church that's now PCA. It was OPC, Orthodox Presbyterian, at the time, and it's since become Presbyterian Church of America. And at the urging of the elders there, I took a course at Westminster Seminary on paedobaptism. And then the elders of our church noticed that there was a Reformed Baptist church nearby that had more deaf people than we had at our church, but nobody who could interpret. And so the elders at our Reformed Presbyterian church laid hands on us, prayed for us, and sent us to the Reformed Baptist Church.
Wow.
Where it was a requirement that I be baptized, even though my parents, who as you probably picked up, weren't in the faith, still they did have me baptized when I was a baby. And so I remember the pastor saying to me, "Well, you have recently become convinced of paedobaptism." I said, "Yes, but under my husband's authority, I've been wed here, and under the authority of the elders of my church, I've been wed here." And they said, "We just want to know what you're going to say when we tell you, you know, that you have to give a testimony for the church when you're going to be baptized again." So, having recently come to understand Romans 6 as really pivotal in my life, I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about Romans 6 and in my little testimony," and that satisfied them. So what we are there is flexible.
Well, praise God for that, and I know already that you have a lot of pedigree, as far as I'm concerned, in not only the issue of bringing the gospel to children, but also just your overall theological perspectives, because I know that the ministry that published your book, The Gospel for Moving Targets, is Shepherd Press, founded by Ted Tripp, who is a friend of mine and someone whom I have interviewed on this program. I've also interviewed his wife, Margie, and I've also interviewed his brother, Paul, on this program, and all of them have written wonderful commendations for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I can have complete confidence, knowing of their connection with this work, that there's nothing to fear.
Yeah, I really appreciate the ministry of Shepherd Press. Shepherding a Child's Heart was a book I read every year while raising our four children, which will probably give you an idea of what kind of challenges we had with our wonderful brood. And I have really appreciated their gospel-centered resources.
Yeah, speaking of a connection between Pedo and Credo, as you may know, we have Ted Tripp and Margie, who are Credo Baptists, and Paul, his brother, is a Pedo Baptist.
Yes. And we have also done a translation of the book Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand into American Sign Language. So, yes, we appreciate the work of both brothers and of Margie as well, who was helpful to me on as I worked on the Gospel for Moving Targets.
By the way, is your husband deaf, or is he just extremely gifted and experienced with sign language?
He is very gifted. He's hearing, and he did not... some of the best interpreters are people who grew up with this language because their parents or a sibling were deaf. But Chuck did not meet deaf children until he graduated from college. He was thinking that he was applying for full-time jobs, and in God's providence, Chuck accidentally applied to a camp, and the camp got his application the day one of their counselors had to leave, and at this camp, so they brought him in for just 3 weeks. So at this camp, he met deaf children. He took the job because he was working with a group of intellectually disabled children that was we were engaged at that point. He wanted to understand more about what I was going to be spending my life doing in special ed. And but again, in God's providence, he met deaf children at that camp. He actually taught them theater during the day, and he was with his cabin full of children at night. And he was just taken with these funky, sparkly kids and their language, began learning the language from a book, which is a bad way to learn any language, let alone one that is not written, and it's three-dimensional. But there weren't many classes at that time, so he began learning from a book and then got a job at Pennsylvania School for the Deaf, where he was taking care of teenage deaf boys during breakfast, lunch, and 3 in the afternoon until 11 at night. We got married over Thanksgiving break when I wrapped up my student teaching, and he was on break, and his right after our honeymoon, our one-week honeymoon, they hired me, and together, Chuck and I had 25 teenage deaf boys to take care of.
Wow.
So that was our training ground. Those kids, who are now, of course, adults, were the ones who really taught us the language.
Now, I know that you're no longer with Logos Academy. You were until very recently, the K-12 Student Support Services Coordinator. And could you, even though you're not with them anymore, let us know about that academy, since it is in my new home state of Pennsylvania. And we have listeners all over the world, but we do have a number in Pennsylvania that might be looking for a good Christian school. They might be in that area. And I understand it's also of a classical Christian background as far as the nature of the school.
That's right. So what God is doing at Logos is so special. Logos is a classical school, but you probably know that the classical school movement is, for the most part, upper middle class or upper class white culture phenomenon.
Right.
But at Logos, Logos was started 20 years ago to bring hope to families of York City. And one of the founders heard a report, a news report, about an urban child, if I remember correctly, maybe it was a child in Chicago, who lived in a housing project and dropped another child out the window to see what would happen, of course, killing that child. And she was just grieved and sought God about what she could do to help urban kids not keep throwing away their lives. And though she did not have the background in education, she and her one of her prayer partners who came alongside her and was our co-founder, together these two women started this school. And the school has several distinctives. It is culturally diverse, really reflects York City, a large African-American population, a large Latino population, as well as some Caucasian students, just a great diversity, and a diversity economically. When David Rusk, who is I'm not sure what you would call him, an urban studies scholar, and he gets paid the big bucks to come into cities and give them advice. And when he came to York to advise us on what to do with our very troubled city, he said, "I would have declared York City a city beyond the point of return, except I did that to Chicago, and Chicago turned around." So he declared York almost at the point of no return.
Wow.
But one of the things he said was, "What if you have such concentrated poverty here in the city where I live, if you could have these students educated with middle-class peers, that, according to research, is what makes a difference." And the other thing, of course, we know, according to research, is that relationships, mentoring relationship. So Logos has a very small class size, no more than 18 students. It is classical, but we have seen that our students bring a very special passion and energy to the classical curriculum. For example, urban students here in New York City, where we have a very high crime rate, a lot of violence, a lot of gang warfare, they bring a different energy to the Iliad than their white upper middle class peers do. Like I said, been in existence for 20 years. It is intercultural, culturally diverse. It is Christ-centered. It's different from a lot of Christian schools in that we don't require the students or their families to be Christian. So there are a lot of families at our Kingdom school who are not yet in the Kingdom. However, they love their kids and they want to do right by their kids, and I'm by no means trying to put down our city schools, because there are a lot of people working hard to bring change and do right by the students in our city. But, you know, if you've looked at any statistics, the most recent ones I saw, of 593 school districts in Pennsylvania, our city school district was rated 573rd. So it's a very troubled area, and here we have this, these families for whom we're providing an excellent education, and it really does a lot to lift not just the students but their families as well.
Well, praise God. I want to let our listeners know that you can find out more about Logos Academy in York, Pennsylvania at logosyork.org, logosyork.org. I'm also going to put in a plug for the Christian school that is a part of the church where I was a member for my entire Christian life before moving to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, New York, in Merrick. They have a school that is also a classical Christian school called Grace Christian Academy. Their website is GCALI for Long Island .com. GCA for Grace Christian Academy, LI for Long Island.com. There is no official connection between Logos and Grace Christian Academy. They're just both Christian and both classical Christian schools. So I just thought I'd let the folks know, for those of you who live in the New York area who might want to investigate Grace Christian Academy. Well, I'm going to repeat our email address here. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If you have a question, we already have several people waiting to have their questions asked and answered. But before we go to any of our listeners, why did you write The Gospel for Moving Targets?
So I have a short answer, and maybe later we'll have time for the backstory. But we had four sons and homeschooled our sons, so I had all day every day to bring the gospel to bear on their lives and teach them what it meant to live out of union with Christ. And they were, well, let's put it this way. We had one bathroom all those years, and we had one of our four sons who could brush his teeth in the bathroom with any one of his brothers. any other pairing of two, and it might take an hour to untangle. They were the kind of kids who, if you turned your back for a second, I remember the day that two of them were, like, riding their sleds down the front stairway because they were tired of waiting for snow in the city row houses. What I'm talking about, the first floor stairs, that's pretty dangerous. So they were a highly spirited, rambunctious group. And when I began working at Logos, I didn't have all day every day for 18 years, and I needed a way to compress all that gospel energy. And so I began doing these lessons with students there. I'm a biblical counselor, and I began counseling children. And so I had all these lessons just sort of worked out in my head, worked out on scraps of paper, and the basic thrust of the material is in three sections. So there's dealing with feelings, teaching children that feelings are a gift from God but have to be used in ways that honor Him. And that sort of clears the runway of the heart for these kids who are explosive. You know, the kids who throw the desk because you told them they had to wait for the gold crayon. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. So, and then the middle section is just the gospel straight up in a hands-on, lively kind of way. It's Romans 1 through 8, and it uses mud and puppets and all sorts of fun little things. And then the third section, so you can see this corresponds with Ephesians 4. The first is putting off the explosive feelings. Not putting off feelings, they're very important, but putting off the wrong responses to our feelings. And then renewing the thinking with the gospel, and then putting on the attitudes and actions that promote attentiveness to help the kids who can't sit still, keep quiet, pay attention.
How did you come up with the title? It is a humorous title. I mean, it's really kind of a stupid question because it's almost self-explanatory, but the gospel for moving targets.
Yeah, and as I worked on this, so what's interesting is, you know, as I taught children how to deal with their feelings, I became much more biblical in dealing with my own fears and worries and upsets. And it's, as I worked on this, I realized that we're all moving targets. Our hearts are constantly shifting away from the gospel. So it's not just the children. It's their parents. It's their teachers. It's all of us. And we all need to learn to, preach and counsel that gospel to our shifting hearts.
Praise God. I want to read two endorsements because to read all of them would be too time-consuming because they're very excellent and lengthy endorsements. But the two I'm going to read are from two of my modern-day heroes, one who is still with us, one who is in heaven. First of all, Dr. Sinclair Ferguson, who is a Ligonier Teaching Fellow, visiting professor of systematic theology at Westminster Theological Seminary, and author of The Whole Christ, The Holy Spirit, and In Christ Alone. He is one of my few remaining modern-day heroes that I have not yet interviewed, and I'm hoping that I get the opportunity to interview Sinclair. I think Sinclair has an aversion to being interviewed on live radio programs, but he is such a phenomenal preacher and teacher, and he has been a major part of my growing in Christ and learning in Christ since I first got saved in the 1980s by God's mercy. But Dr. Sinclair Ferguson says, Nancy Snyder knows what the word rambunctious means. She has seen it in action in nurturing her own children. If you are a parent, chances are you have also seen it and wondered how to handle it. If so, the gospel for moving targets is just what you need. In fact, this is also a book for all families. It is full of mature biblical wisdom and a real understanding of how Christian character is formed. Anyone who buys the gospel for moving targets to help them love their children will find its teaching transforming them first of all. And that, of course, is exactly how God means family life to be. And also, the brother that I mentioned who is now in heaven, Jerry Bridges, who I did have the opportunity to interview a couple of times, and he wrote a wonderful commendation for this radio program. Jerry Bridges, known for his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, and a book that I give away to everyone I know who is going through a serious trial, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. But Jerry Bridges said, "The Bible is meant to be applied to one's daily life, but how to communicate this to small children is a challenge. Nancy Snyder has given us a creative way to do this involving the children in the learning process. This book should prove useful to parents, grandparents, and anyone else working with small children." Well, we are going to go to our first break right now, and we'll start taking our listener questions. And again, if anybody would like to ask a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Nancy Snyder and more on the gospel for moving targets, helping active children grow in grace.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnsen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnsen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time is Nancy Snyder, and we are discussing her book, The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I can understand a subject like helping active children grow in grace. I can understand how that might lead to personal and private messages, if you are asking about your own children and there's some kind of very serious or delicate issue or intimately personal issue that you want to ask. So you may feel free to remain anonymous if those are the cases. But other than that, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. And before I go to any of you who are already waiting, I want to ask you, Nancy, are there societal forces making life more challenging for children?
So life has never been easy for most children, all right? There were no children before the fall. Children have only lived in a fallen world, and they've always been vulnerable. It wouldn't have been easy to be Abel, of course, or Shem, Ham, and Japheth, or Jacob, Esau, Joseph. I mean, you just go through history.
You know, I've known that theologically all my Christian life, but I never even thought of it that way until you just said it, that there were no children before the fall. Even though I knew that, it struck me in a different way when you just said it.
Yeah. So children are so vulnerable, and whether it was during the time of enslavement in Egypt or the wilderness wandering, when they saw all kinds of hard providences, and I mean Roman occupation, Babylonian exile. You just go through history, and you say, and throughout most history, and most places of the world, life for children has been very difficult, and it is very difficult for American children right now. Not as hard as it is in some places where we do have malnutrition and hunger here. But not like in some other places. Where children are displaced by war and violence and don't have access to health care, and are forced into unspeakable horrors. What I know best is my little city here in York, Pennsylvania, and having lived here for almost 30 years, it's a city of much poverty. The median household income is $30,000. About a quarter of our city speaks a language other than English at home. Our high school graduation rate, which they've really worked hard on, and it has improved, it's now up to 73%. Our state tests are not showing great results. And last year, in my city of 44,000 people, there were 17 murders. Okay, so that's a murder rate per 100,000 of 39. I mean, of major cities, only like New Orleans, Detroit, Baltimore, and St. Louis are worse than that. So here in my little city, not to mention mental health issues, addiction, incarceration. I mean, as student and family support coordinator, that was my role. It was to help our children and families through these things. It's just overwhelming what people are facing. And, then you look at the bigger forces, pornography, video games, distracted and overwhelmed parents who were never parented themselves, a society that's really lost its biblical moorings. Is it any wonder that our kids are in free fall? One of my roles at the school was helping students with high numbers of adverse childhood experiences, being the trauma-informed care person. And, a lot of the research shows that students who have these high numbers of terribly traumatic experiences go through, they endure changes just in their brain chemistry. But the way out, the way of help and hope, is in supportive relationships. So it's a real opportunity for the gospel. And that's what I'm trying to do in the Gospel for Moving Targets, is bring the gospel to the lives of vulnerable children.
Great. If you could, please return to the backstory on why you wrote the book. It has something to do with children and gender, if you don't mind telling.
It does. So one of our sons, let me back up a little bit. We have four sons, two of whom were born in our family and two of whom were adopted. We wanted to adopt a deaf child. That's our life. It's in the deaf world. And so we adopted our son who, when he was growing up, we were much more private about his story. He has since given me permission. In fact, he said, you can tell anyone, because I maybe people who hear will adopt children younger and they won't go through what I went through. But he came to us at 18 months, having gone through, presumably, some trauma. However, he was deaf and he had no language. So so he had no way to communicate with us. At the orphanage, they felt sorry for the poor little deaf boy, and they gave him whatever he screamed for. So he did have a very effective scream. And he had a lot of challenges. You know, the kids who don't bond with the human race, who, you know, have attachment problems, and a lot of trouble with anxiety. But one of his struggles had to do with gender. The kids who think, you know, by the age of four, they're convinced that they're born in the wrong body. And although he had never heard of it, he devised in his own imagination what is referred to as gender reassignment surgery. And I called all over the country. I wrote letters. I sent letters to lots of places. And Christian people told me, problems this serious and a child this young, there's nothing you can do about them. And I just was sure there was something in the gospel for our son. And one person who was willing to track with us and did so for years, without, you know, being unwilling to take any money from us, was Larry Crabb. And his encouragement to us was to not see our son as having any sort of wildly, unusual problems, just that most men, most boys have some fears of manhood, and just to see him on one end of the continuum. And that turned out to be very helpful advice. And the other thing he told us to do was for Chuck to learn what it meant to be a man by God's design, not a husband, a father, a leader in the church, but a man. And for me to learn what God's design for women was, and for us to live in the beauty and symmetry of that good design, and pray that our son got swept along in that stream. And it took about 15 years, but he is now very, very glad we didn't turn him into a girl. And
of course, I don't think you wouldn't have done that anyway, would you?
We wouldn't have. However, it gets a little more confusing than you would expect, because you've got a child who is screaming and crying out his soul pain. And so we knew if he were born with a hole in his physical heart, we would surgically repair it. And it's a little confusing when you face this day after day. We had to really ransack the scripture. We knew it was not what God was calling him to or us to, but we had to search for a strong biblical foundation that was enough to carry us through 15 really difficult years. And what we found by just scratching Genesis 1, 2, and 3 until they bled, and what they bled was redemption. And in essence, it boiled down to, for us, gender is a gift from the King, and it's meant to be lived for his glory. And you and I both know that God just gives some gifts that are really hard. You've had gifts in your life that have been hard gifts, and so have I. And this was a hard gift in our son's life, but it was a good gift for all of us. It taught my husband and I to pray. But like I said, he also had attachment disorder, so we didn't have any ways, no evidence of a conscience for a decade. No, there were not many ways to reach his heart. But art, storytelling reached his heart, so I wrote a book, and the characters were based on him and his brother and a couple other children who were important in our lives. And it takes two of these children who were very broken, and it celebrates their baby but beautiful steps of faith to embrace, to live out their gender. And, of course, it has these two little foils. This story I wrote for him has these two little foils who just revel in their gender. And that's all very gently woven into the background. It's just, you know, it's very gentle in the background. And the book is called Lions for Ajax. And Shepherd Press has said that they're going to publish that next.
Wow. Well, I've got to have you back to talk about that. Did you say it was called Lions for Asia?
Ajax.
Oh.
Yeah, like in the Iliad. But it's just a nickname of one of the children in the book. And so I originally wrote this for our son. And, of course, it had a very limited audience, our family. And as the gender wars began to swirl around me, and I ache for these families. I understand these families who take a five-year-old and change that child's gender presentation. I understand why they're doing it. They're in so much pain, and they feel like they can't bear to see their child in this kind of pain another day. And the professionals are saying to them, if you don't change your child's gender presentation, your child will have a higher likelihood of suicide. Well, that's a heavy burden to lay on any parent. Nobody wants to hear that. And so I just wanted to come alongside them, I'm not trying to come down on anybody. I'm just trying to gently open a path that I think is God's path to joy for these children and their families. And so I reworked the book to make it so it would be more suitable for a wider audience. And Shepherd Press, I sent it to Shepherd Press. And in the process of trying to get them interested in an untested writer writing on a subject that Christian families don't necessarily even want to acknowledge could actually take place in a Christian family, that wasn't too popular, I mentioned, well, I have this other curriculum that would be, an easier sell if you'd like to take a look at that. And so that was The Gospel for Moving Targets. And I had first written it as a curriculum for a school, and they asked me to rewrite it as more short, lively little lessons for families and schools. They used it at Logos, but, you know, lively little lessons that would be more user-friendly for parents if they want to use it. And so that came first, but it was really this burning passion God has put in me to come alongside these families who are struggling with their children in terms of gender that prompted me to take those little lessons that were on a million scraps of paper and formalize them into something usable.
Now, forgive me for asking you to repeat a couple of the facts here, because first of all, I don't want to derail our main conversation here, but this is so fascinating to me that I wanted to just have a couple of issues clarified. How young was your son when he was approaching you with this desire to be a girl?
This was before the age of four, which is really classic.
Wow.
For gender identity. And I had never heard of this. So you can imagine I was pretty taken by surprise. And,
right.
And of course, you know, we felt very alone with it. And, you know, it's a tough issue to face as a family.
Yeah, I can imagine. And the other question was if you could repeat today. This is 15 years later, did you say?
Oh, he is now 34 years old, and but I would have said those years from 4 to really probably 20 years, 4 to 20, somewhere around then, were the years of God just gently shaping his gender identity. I mean, you just wouldn't believe the videos. If you could see video of him then and now, you would just be staggered by the difference.
You mean the masculinity now?
Yep.
And so is he married? Does he have children?
He is single, and he has been very thoughtful about the issue of marriage, and doesn't see it as out of the question, and is looking at God's timing and calling in that area.
Okay, but as far as his being very comfortable with the gender that God gave him, that seems to be a thoroughly accomplished a gift from God right now in his life.
Yes, thank God. Yep.
And, well, that's a fascinating story that I definitely want to continue at some other point. But before we move on to our other main issue, the gospel for moving targets, do you have any idea? I mean, some of this is just speculation because there is mystery behind this. You have those on one side of the debate amongst Christians who say that someone could never be born with that proclivity or inclination. Then you have another side which would say that, well, if we are born totally depraved, if we are born with a sin nature, why couldn't that be one of the sins that somebody has a proclivity toward? And
right.
I used to be on the first category of saying there's no way that a person is born that way. But then when my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries said to me that simple statement, he said, well, if we're born totally depraved, why couldn't that be one of the proclivities that a person has? And I just like totally brought a different light on the subject.
Yeah. And adoption is an area of interest to us. And so one of the books I read was called Identical Strangers, and it's a memoir of twins who were separated and reunited. And some of the similarities in these twins, and in one case at least triplets, who were separated, grew up separately. It's uncanny. I mean, one of the foster mothers said about one of the twins, oh, she's a great eater. She'll eat anything as long as it has cinnamon on it. And the other foster mother, not knowing, none of these people knew that these children were children of multiple births, said, oh, she's a terrible eater. She'll only eat something if it has cinnamon on it. reading that book was very eye-opening. There is a lot of mystery when it comes to the environment and genetics. And either way, what it comes down to is the gospel is the answer.
Amen. And this son was adopted, am I correct?
That's right.
Right. And so one can only wonder what happened before you adopted him and so on. But I want to repeat to our listeners, that believing that there is a possibility somebody is born with this kind of proclivity or proclivity or inclination towards homosexuality does not mean that a person believing that believes that that is a license for a person to live that way. It's just because just like there are proclivities that someone may have because of our depraved nature that leads them to kill or steal or any other kind of wicked activity, doesn't mean that since they are born with a proclivity towards that, that that is acceptable just because they were born that way.
Right.
Right. So I just wanted to make that clear that this is not a discussion on how someone could salve their conscience by moving forward with a certain decision just because they think they were born that way.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to our midway break right now before we take any of our listener questions. The midway break is longer than our other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, always requires of us a longer midway break because they air their own commercials in Lake City, Florida, and air their own public service announcements and so on. So please be patient as we take this elongated break. Use this time to write down questions for our guest, Nancy Snyder, on helping active children grow in grace. And also use this time to write down information provided by our advertisers so that you can more successfully and frequently patronize them, because the more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they are to remain as advertisers, and their finances are what keep us on the air, in addition to the generous support of those of you listening who donate to us regularly, and we thank God for all of you. But our email address, if you have a question for Nancy Snyder, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Nancy Snyder.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org. hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689. 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's CVBBS.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call CVBBS.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. And please mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, if you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you purchase at least $50 worth of merchandise, you will not only get free shipping on your entire order, but you're also going to be getting a free book. And they've already run out of the other book that they were offering, and they have a new book that they are offering now, Anger and Stress Management God's Way by Wayne Mack, published by P&R Publishing, also known as Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing. You'll get that absolutely free by mentioning Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you order at least $50 worth of merchandise. And they man that phone line that I gave you just a few moments ago, 10 a.m. through 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. That's 10 a.m. through 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. And you could also order, obviously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 52 weeks a year online at cvbbs.com. Just have a few special events that we want to highlight before we return to our guest, Nancy Snyder, who is discussing her book, The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in God's Grace, or Grow in Grace, I should say. First of all, we have coming up right around the corner, August 2nd through the 4th, the Fellowship Conference New England returns to the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And the speakers this year at the Fellowship Conference New England are Pastor Tim Conway of Grace Community Church in San Antonio, Texas, Pastor Mac Tomlinson of the Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, and Pastor Mac is also an author. We have Pastor Jesse Barrington of Grace Life Church in Dallas, Texas. And another author and pastor is Pastor Nate Pickowitz, and he is pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire. All of these men have been guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I always thoroughly enjoy interviewing each and every one of them. If you'd like to attend this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, and please make sure that you tell the folks at the Fellowship Conference New England that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And then coming up in November, November 9th and the 10th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, and I intend to be there, God willing, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth once again. I always enjoy, thoroughly enjoy my times at the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And the conference speakers, or should I say, let me start with the theme. The theme this year, this November, is the glory of the cross. And the speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. That's November 9th and the 10th. And it will be held at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. If you want more details, go to alliancenet.org. AllianceNet.org, click on events, and then scroll down to Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. And please tell the folks at the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals that you heard about the conference from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Then coming up in January of 2019, which will be here before you know it, the G3 Conference is being held once again at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. I will be there, God willing, also manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. This is my third year in a row being present there at the G3 Conference, which stands for Grace, Gospel, and Glory. Actually, they order it Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And the theme is The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. And I want you to seriously consider not only registering as an attendee of this event, but I strongly urge you to also seriously consider registering for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning there, God willing, because they are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people to be there present. In fact, I'm going to put in a plug for my
my guest today, Nancy Snyder, that she should have an exhibitor's booth there for her book, and perhaps Shepherd Press, I should say, should have one there as well. In fact, they might even have one there scheduled, apart from my knowledge. But this is going to be a really incredible conference, as always. The speakers include Paul Washer, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, whose voice you just heard in a commercial for our new advertiser, New Covenant Church NYC, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, who our guest just mentioned a little while ago, Conrad Mbewe, my favorite preacher on the planet Earth, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. Tim Challies is speaking there. Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. Josh Bice, who is the executive director and founder of the G3 Conference and a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. Stephen J. Nichols, president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many other guests are on that roster. If you want to register, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and please tell the folks at the G3 Conference that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, I hate doing this, but it's something that needs to be done. I have to beg you for money, as you have been hearing me do every day for months now, and I'm sorry that I may be bugging you, but if you want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and your family, because I never want anybody siphoning money away from providing from their church where they are a member, or for or putting your family in jeopardy if you're just because you're giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't ever do that. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands of providing for church and home, and you love the show and you don't want it to go away, well, then please consider going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. You can also mail us a check the old-fashioned way to the address that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you do is compatible with the theology we express here. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we surely do need the advertising dollars to remain on the air. And the you don't have to believe identically with me, just as long as whatever you're promoting is compatible with what I believe. For instance, you could be a Wesleyan Arminian and have a shoe store that you want to advertise. That's not going to bother me in the slightest bit. You know what I'm talking about. As long as whatever it is you're promoting does not militate against what we believe here, I would love to hear from you at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That is also the email where you could send in a question to Nancy Snyder on the gospel for moving targets, helping active children grow in grace. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we would love to hear from you at chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have a listener from another author, a colleague of yours in the literary field, Nancy. She's a very dear friend of mine and has been a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a number of times. She is actually a former Mormon who came to a saving knowledge of the true Jesus Christ and true gospel of the scriptures. Latane C. Scott, Dr. Latane C. Scott, wrote the classic book, The Mormon Mirage. She says, what is the role of scripture memorization in your ministry, and what have you found to be the most helpful method?
That's a great question. So scripture memory work is very important, and in this book, The Gospel for Moving Targets, the place where that comes up is in the part two, which is the section that corresponds with renewing your mind. And like I said, it goes through Romans 1 through 8, and with every lesson there is a verse or two for students and children in a family to memorize, so that by the end of it, they have a little chunk of Romans that they have memorized. Another place where it comes up is one of the verses that really helped me to understand my union with Christ is Galatians 2:20. So families are asked to memorize that passage, and it also mentions personalizing it. So the family might memorize, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me, and it goes on. But the crux of that is I and children are asked to personalize it in their minds, not in their memory work. I and my sin of loving myself most have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I and my sin of loving myself most who live, but Christ and his love for God and other people that live in me. So that's a really concrete way of helping them understand what it means to put off and put on. As for method, I've used a lot of different methods, sometimes drawing pictures, sometimes we write it on a board, and like a whiteboard, and erase a word at a time, so that by the end of it, they can say the whole thing. Really, whatever fun ways you use to memorize it, the most important thing is to keep reviewing it. So with my children, when they were younger, we reviewed their Bible verses they memorized every day. Then when they were a little older, we would review them once a week. When they were older than that, it was once a month. And by the time they were teenagers, really, it was just once a season. And we would do that maybe even in the car. But review is really important. And it's important for me in my personal Bible memorization work. I swim often. I've got chronic pain, and swimming's really great for pain. And my first half mile is spent reciting scripture that I've memorized, just reviewing it. And of course, the other big thing, along with reviewing, is applying and to talk of it. And as you're going through your day, and the children are struggling with this or that sin, is the opportune moment to talk about that verse and how it applies, and turn to God together for power to live out that verse in that situation.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Latain C. Scott. Look forward to your return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, she's writing a book right now, Nancy, that might be of great interest to you. She's actually writing a book on how to, I don't know the exact title, but she's in the process of writing a book on preventing your children from becoming addicted or even being exposed to internet pornography.
Oh, that's a great topic. Yeah, very timely.
Yeah, and so, Latain, if you could email me your mailing address in Albuquerque, New Mexico, so that cvbbs.com can ship you out your free copy of The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace, compliments of our friends at Shepherd Press, and also compliments of our friends at cvbbs.com who are shipping that out at no expense to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have Gordy in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And Gordy says, my wife homeschools our seven children. How do you strike a balance between the academic and fostering the Christian worldview via the gospel and Christ-like character building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. Gordy, right?
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, great. So one of the things that I think is most important is for the parents, as the leaders in the homeschool, and perhaps in many situations at least, particularly the mom, to delight in God, enjoy God, and know God, and then make him known to the children. That's really the crux of the homeschool life. As the parents become the kind of people who increasingly, in deep, meaningful ways, know and enjoy God, they will be the kind of teachers God wants them to be to their children. So in other words, I think this Hebraic-style discipleship, where you're living the life with your children, is at the very heart of it. But I also believe that academics are very important. And, one of my sons is a mathematician, and another one of my sons teaches Japanese. And for all of our sons, their academic preparation in homeschool was really crucial to their becoming the person that God wanted them to be, to fulfill the calling that God has for them. So one of the ways that we kept that balance was first things first. The first thing in every homeschool day was our time as a family spent with God, time in God's Word, time in prayer, and time in song. Now, I am not musical. And in my former church, there were two families with the last name Snyder, and one were called the Singing Snyders, and the other were the Signing Snyders. Never the twain shall meet. However, we did sing our hearts out to God every day. You know, so, if you have that time in the Word, in prayer, and in praise, and then you have time enjoying God's world, and which I would include in that the rich gifts He's given to us in poetry and music and literature, really the most important thing is that your children become readers, right? Because, for example, my son, who was a mathematician, I couldn't teach him the things he learned, but I did teach him how to read, and then he could run with it. I certainly couldn't teach Japanese. Even learning Spanish, my kids took off way better than I did. But as long as they can read, they have the tools to learn what God has for them. And if you can help them learn writing, then they can be very useful in God's kingdom. So I would put, I'm beginning to sound like a classical educator here, I know, but I would put a heavy emphasis on those language arts of reading and writing, because you want them to be able to read and understand God's word. You want them to be able to read whatever tools they're going to need to fulfill the calling God has given them. And of course, you know, math is one of the things that it does come up in everyday life, but you do have to plan for math, okay? You can't just figure that math is going to happen. And so, really, with seven children, if you hit those, the reading, writing, and math every day, and I understand at one point, I not only have homeschooled our four children, but at various points for various lengths of time, homeschooled nine other students from our city. And so I have had a certain points. I remember at one point where we had three children I was homeschooling who all had, they were not yet strong readers, and I had to sit down with every one of them one-on-one and listen to them read and read to them and help them read. And I found that I had to plan more for my younger children. I don't know, Gordy, if your family has little ones and older ones, but with seven children, I'm guessing you do. And well, you can tell by the title, The Gospel for Moving Targets, I really had to plan for the little ones as much as for the older ones. In other words, I had to line up activities that I could shift maybe every 15 minutes. I had to set a timer to teach them how to be occupied in an activity for up to 15 minutes. So there is a lot of planning that goes into it. My husband and I once did a workshop called Homeschooling Amid Chaos. So I understand that even if your children aren't quite as rambunctious as mine, there's just a certain energy level that comes with seven children. So I would say really prayerful planning, especially for to keep the younger students occupied while you're working with the older children. And really then just joyfully focus on those priorities of reading, writing, and math. And not worry about the things that you can't do. There's a passage in Scripture that calls us to count as lost in Philippians 3, and every homeschool day you have to count a lot of things as lost for the gain of Christ. But if you have ended the day gaining Christ as a family. It's been a great homeschool day.
Praise God. Well, Gordy, since you live in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and you're only less than a half hour from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service on North Hanover Street in Carlisle, why don't you just stop by there tomorrow and pick up your free copy of The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace, to spare CVBBS.com the mailing expense of shipping that out to you since you're so close. And please let us know if you need it to be shipped out to you, but I think that you'll be able to manage that. Please say hello to Todd and Patty Jennings of Cumberland Valley Bible Books Service when you stop by there. We really rely upon their loyalty to make Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a successful program. Let's see here. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And CJ asks, I have found myself on many occasions with friends and family members who have little children at a dinner table in a restaurant or other public place where the child has been really acting up and being disobedient and making loud noise that is disturbing the other diners in the restaurant or the other people at whatever venue we may be fellowshipping at. And one thing that I have noticed that I personally disagree with, but I was wondering what your opinion is. I have noticed that sometimes the children have been punished right before the eyes of all who are at the table, and sometimes embarrassing the child greatly. Do you believe that this is appropriate, or should a parent always take a child aside for the more severe chastisement? I'm not talking about light and gentle chastisements, otherwise parents would be constantly leaving the table, but I'm talking about the more serious scolding that may also involve the swat on the bottom, which is another thing that might get you in trouble doing in public.
Yes, CJ, I agree with you that anytime you are talking to your child about their sin, you want it to be private. And the only exception I would see is if you're in your family and your child might defy you in front of the other children, it might be wise, I think children pick up on this very readily, to make sure that they understand that you are taking that child off for the purpose of loving, restorative discipline, and so that your authority is intact, but the child's dignity is also intact. And I think that we can be friends to such families. When I go out with a family, I often take, in fact, I'm looking, I've got it right on my desktop, I've got a stack of quiet little activities that I can just stuff in a bag or a pocket or a backpack so that I'm prepared to love the children well. And sometimes that's instructive for the other parents, too. They might not have thought of bringing these quiet little activities that would preclude ending up in this situation where a child is being disciplined in public. But, yes, I think that we always want to respect our children and deal with them privately, just as we would with another adult.
Well, thanks, CJ, for your excellent question. Please give us your mailing address there in Lindenhurst, Long Island, so that CVBBS.com can ship you out your free copy of The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace. We're going to our final break right now. This is going to be a lot briefer than the last break. Take this time to write down any question you might have before we run out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day. So I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org. That's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org. Or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled
consider the evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember to continue to pray for Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, as he faces some very serious decisions in regard to open-heart surgery that he needs. A surgery that is a lot more complicated and delicate and serious than the average open-heart surgery. So please pray for decisions he makes in regard to the surgeon that he uses, and also obviously pray that the Lord, as our great physician, guides the hands of those surgeons very meticulously and carefully so that Mike rises up out of that hospital bed a stronger and healthier man than he's been in years. And even more importantly, a stronger and healthy man spiritually, that he may be even a far better ambassador for Jesus Christ as a result of the trial that he has experienced. We are now back with Nancy Snyder, author of The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and if you intend to write in a question, I would do so now because we are rapidly running out of time. We have a question from an anonymous listener who says, "How old do you think a child needs to be before he is forced to leave the premises where you live? If a child, a teenager specifically, is causing such havoc in the home that the younger children are in danger, perhaps not physically, but more in regard to their spiritual and mental health. Should we ever, before they are 18, force them to leave the home? Obviously, I would want to make sure that there was some kind of preparation for where they may wind up living, but what is your advice in regard to this very scary and delicate question?
It is a terrifying prospect in front of you, and I'm so sorry. I wish that we had an hour together where I could ask a lot of questions. I feel a bit out on a limb. Proverbs warns us that he who speaks without listening is a fool, and I want to avoid that foolishness. However, maybe just a few things to think about. I would, you probably have already done a lot of these things, but if you haven't already garnered strong prayer support, I am talking about people who will pray and fast daily, daily prayer and regular fasting for your teenager. I would gather that now. A lot of times we try to struggle through on our own, and in the situation that I mentioned with one of our sons, we had about 24 people who prayed very, very faithfully for him, and I believe that's why God has worked the way he has in our son's life. So garner prayer support and fasting, and also I'm guessing that your church, the leaders of your church, have been strongly involved in this young person's life. And I would lean very heavily on them as well for wisdom. This is their sheep also, and they carry responsibility before God for the well-being of this child as much as possible. So, and I'm wondering if church discipline has been, if the steps, formal steps of church discipline have been begun. I know that can sound, it is very weighty, and to think about church discipline and the life of a teenager is a hard prospect. However, it is our biblically ordained means of dealing with sin in the church, and I presume from the fact that you're listening to this radio broadcast that you have raised this child in the church. So prayer and fasting, the leaders of your church, the shepherds of your church, and the steps of church discipline. And if all of those have been thoroughly used, then I would make sure, I would want to make sure that I had, there are a lot of good Christian residential programs for people who are struggling with very serious matters, and that would be where my heart as a mom would want a son to go, or a child in the family to go. Sorry, I have all sons, so it just comes naturally to me to say son. But I just ache with you, not knowing your name. I'm going to be taking this weight to God along with you. It is a hard and horrible place to come to as a parent. I do understand that there are times for the sake of the rest, for the safety of the rest of the children in the home, that this is a step that you might need to take after much prayer and fasting and anguish with your church and steps of church discipline. So I will join you in praying for God's wonder-working power that the gospel would flourish in this hard soil, not only in this teenager's life, but also in the lives of the whole family.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. Give me your full name off the air, of course, and address, and we will mail you a free copy of The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace. CVBBS.com will ship that out to you as soon as we have your full mailing address, and we promise we will not identify you on the air, so that you don't have to worry about that. We have Kate in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania, who has a question. There is an old saying, boys will be boys, and I know that that may be often used to excuse sinful behavior, but isn't there truth behind that? It seems that there are too many people too quick to medicate their sons just because they're acting like boys. I'm sorry if I'm laughing, because it is. Yeah. But I know it's a serious thing about over-medication of children.
Right. And even in my years when I worked at Logos, there were just a number of boys who I just wanted to bring home and homeschool them. You know, I just wanted them to be able to have an exercise break every 15 minutes. So even in that setting, our principal was very gracious and, you know, said to me things like, you get the work done that you need to get done. I don't care how many recesses you give those kids to help them through it. You know, so I agree with you. Not boys will be boys when it comes to sin. We don't want to excuse sin saying, well, boys will be boys. However, we do need to understand that God has perhaps designed males to be active, to enter into the needs around them, to push back the jungle, so to speak. And when God made Adam and he put him in the garden and then told him to cultivate the whole of the earth. And so I think it's really important for boys particularly, although there are a number of girls who also find this to be a real sanctifying grace, to get lots and lots of exercise. I can remember days of going from, you know, swimming to reading to roller skating to this to that and thinking, now everybody's going to be tired enough to sleep at night, but I was the one who was tired and not them. So I think you're wise if you have boys to give them lots and lots of activity, safe activity, not riding down the stairs of your city row house on sweats.
Well, thank you so much, and make sure we have your full mailing address so that we can have CVBBS.com ship out the copy of The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace. Thank you, Kate. And keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania, and beyond. Before I go to any more listener questions, I want you to just give a summary of the three major headings in your book. You have God's ways are higher than ours. You have energy is from God and for God, which I think is probably more for parents to learn than for children. Feelings are from God and for God. If you could go through those three.
Great. Okay, that's great. So that's in the opening section, section one, which is dealing with feelings. And Shepherd Press, the editors there, helped me to lay a good foundation for that. I wanted to start with God, and everything flows out of the character of God. So everything that comes later in the whole of the book flows out of the character of God. So God is, so some of the activities in this section work with trains, and if you don't have a train track, there are pictures of trains for you to download and instructions. Everything's got step-by-step instructions. But God is the engineer of our life. He designs the track of our life, and his ways are higher than ours. And he is also the engine. He's also the power for obeying him to the end. So that's what that section is about. And then energy is from God and for God, has some games in it for children to learn. One of the most difficult things for kids to learn is when they can be active and loud and when they need to turn that off. and understanding that not only feelings are a gift from God that must be used the way he said, but also energy is a gift from God that needs to be used in ways that honor the King. And that leads right into the section that feelings are from God and for God, because even anger, it's surprising for a lot of children to learn that anger is a gift from God. We often misuse it, but what a terrible world it would be if we didn't have a sense of anger over sin. And so, but how to respond to it in godly ways, how to deal with our feelings. So that section deals with anger, and it also deals with fear, and then all of those lead to the last unit in that whole section, which deals with the heart. So what I want children to be able to do is look behind their feelings, beneath and below their feelings, to see what they're treasuring, because what we treasure determines how we act. And that's true for us as adults, too. When I get upset over something and I trace behind it, I often find my idols of my heart. And it's in repenting of them that I'm led back to joy and gospel grace. So that is section one, has those four little units. Section two just has one unit, like I said, the gospel straight up. Section three, which is the putting on the attitudes and actions necessary to attention, actually has three sections, three little units within it, and one deals with how should I pay attention. And one deals with motivation. Why should I pay attention? And one deals with power. How can I pay attention? So that's the book in a nutshell.
Great. And we have a first-time questioner. We have Joanna from Gardnerville, Nevada. And Joanna from Gardnerville says, my husband and I would like to keep our child in church through the service from a young age. It's important to us to be a part of the service and to have our child see us worshiping and learning. We know not all families do it this way, and we completely respect that and don't cast any judgment on others who do it differently. Obviously, all children are very different, so we know what works for one may not work for the other. I was just wondering, what are some guidelines and tips you would suggest for us to help train, discipline, and teach our child? Thank you so much for doing what the Lord has called you to do. That's blessings from Joanna in Gardnerville, Nevada. And I'm assuming when she says, I'm just wondering what are some guidelines and tips. I'm assuming she's specifically talking about as far as children behaving during a worship service.
Great question. I love that you approach this as an area of freedom. Our children were most often in the worship service with us, and I appreciate that you want them to see you worshiping and worshiping together as a family with the whole body of Christ there. I do know that when our children were with us in church, there were a couple families that my husband, in his loving wisdom, said, you are not allowed to sit behind those families because you'll come home despairing over our children. Because they were the kind of families where the children just, without a whole lot of prompting, just were wonderful. They were really great. But our children needed a lot more guidance to be with us. In fact, I remember one time when I was interpreting and my husband was preaching, and he actually stepped out of the pulpit, said, excuse me, took one of our children privately, and came back in with a much happier child, and proceeded to go on preaching.
Really? So, in other words, he stopped his own sermon, walked outside with your child, and then came back?
Again, I think planning, you know, you... in fact, I'm just looking at my little stack here that I grab and take places. I have some of the activities from the Gospel for Moving Targets that can be done quietly in worship. I know that you want them, for the most part, taking in everything you're taking in. I like taking notes with my children. I would often do that in a picture form. Again, I'm not really an artist, but the things we do for love and pointing out the words of the hymns and songs along with them. I had made them a little book on worship that it just explained the elements of our worship, the order of our worship, the attitude we should bring to worship. I mean, we worked really hard on this as a family. And if you, Joanna, have kids like ours, you're going to work really hard on it too, but it's very fruitful. So we would come home and make little posters of things that we learned about in the sermon. It's especially helpful if the pastor is, say, preaching exegetically through a book, and you can read that book and, you know, do little lessons related to the next section that you know the pastor will preach on. That really primes the pump for them. So we would prime the pump beforehand and help them through it, leaving if we had to help them through it and bring them back in, and then help them understand it afterward and apply it. And as you do that step by step, of course, there's depending on how many children you have, and if you have two parents, then you can sort of divide and conquer somewhat. But it's a fight worth fighting. It's a fight of faith, and it's a lovely, it bears lovely fruit in the gospel to worship together with your children. So be gracious in your expectations, and so that you help them come along. I use a timer at home for lots of things to help our children develop their attention span. So for some of them, you start and we celebrated that they had a minute on task. You know, that was really great. And then you stretch it. So we practice that in family worship, which I think really sets the stage for corporate worship. So if they have learned to still their hearts, make their hearts like little monasteries while you have been praying together as a family at home, then they can transfer that more readily to the corporate worship setting.
Well, thank you, Joanna, in Gardnerville, Nevada. Not only have you won a free copy of The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace by our guest, Nancy Snyder, but since you are a first-time questioner, you will also receive a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publisher of the NASB and CVBBS.com, who will be shipping that out to you. So please get us your full name and mailing address in Gardnerville, Nevada. Thank you so much for blessing us with your question. Now, if you could, in 2 minutes, Nancy, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners before we go off the air today.
I want our listeners to understand that the gospel is mighty to transform the hearts of the little ones, that Jesus draws them and in ways that are deep and vital, and can do so through the simple little lessons that you can do at home.
Great. And I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the information that they need to get a hold of this book. First of all, Shepherd Press, who published this book, The Gospel for Moving Targets, their website is shepherdpress.com. shepherdpress.com. And I'm sure that the folks at Shepherd Press would not mind if you actually purchased the book from one of our other sponsors, which is cvbbs.com. That way you could kill two birds with one stone and bless both the publisher and my client, cvbbs.com. You could go to cvbbs.com and you could order a whole host of books by Shepherd Press. In fact, they carry everything, I believe, that Shepherd Press publishes, and if they don't have it in stock, they will get it quickly for you. And also, I want to make sure that you are reminded about the Logos Academy, where our guest was at one time on the staff, logosyork.org, logosyork.org. Do you have any other contact information or other information you'd care to provide?
Oh, I would urge people to come in for a tour. Even if you don't think that you'd be interested in having student, attend Logos. It is a dynamic, exciting place, and it's wonderful to see what God is doing there. So you would want to call the school and set up a tour.
Great. Don't forget, tomorrow we have John Sampson of the King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, discussing the seven deceptions of the charismatic movement. And Morris Roberts from Banner of Truth joins us this Friday on July 27th. I want to thank you so much, Nancy, for being our guest today. I look forward to your return to the program. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.